Okay, just a few things before we pick up the Lord's Word. Thank you, Justina and Jane, for sharing. And, you know, what they say is really true. You just never know what might hit you in life. And life is full of surprises. I always remember what Forrest Gump said when he offered a box of chocolate. You just never know what you might get, you know, when you look at a box of chocolate, right? It's like a box of chocolate. You take something, you eat it, it might be strawberry, it might be coconut, it might be something. You just never know. That's life for you. And, I mean, I recognize this even more. I mean, for Chinky, you never knew that she had a heart issue. Sure, you never know. I mean, what? None of us will know what is it is within us in terms of the problems and in terms of physical things, in terms of life challenges and problems. We just never know. So important for us to look at our lives and recognize our need for God for more than anything else. Now, as you notice, we are not having TOE. We are going to study the Lord's Word and we'll pick it up as far as we can. And then after that, we will spend quite a bit of time preparing for tomorrow. Okay, as you know, we are going to lead in worship, so there are quite a few things that we need to organize. But we need to, first of all, get the song item right. So we're going to practice that. And after that, we are going to go upstairs, and I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. Okay, and, you know, I think it's an exciting time. Those who have been will be leading in worship, they've been practicing very hard and they've been working very hard on what they're going to share. I thought what you will hear tomorrow would represent us as the young adults and really to be able to see their commitment to the ministry as one. Okay, so that's something that we really need to work on. Okay, now we've been looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and we've been asking ourselves about this whole idea of faith. And how do we know that we really have faith? And what the author of Hebrews presents to us is that if we don't have a strong foundation, if our foundation is somehow flawed, if our foundation is weak, our foundation is found on something other than Christ, we are, you know, bound to find great difficulty in facing the challenges of life, the storms of life. Now, last Saturday, we looked at this idea of falling away, and we recognize how easy it is to fall away, and if we have experienced all the blessings that God has given to us, whether it is the Spirit of God, whether it is the heavenly gift of the Lord Jesus, or, you know, one thing or another, if we were to fall away, it is going to be very hard for us to come back. It's so important for us to be able not to fall away. Now, today we're going to learn a little bit more about how to ensure that we are on the right track. How do you know that we are on the right track? How do we know that we are certain of our own faith, of our salvation? And so I like the way in which the author of Hebrews develops the thoughts, especially with regards to the question of our salvation. Okay, so let's read for a while. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Okay, so we were talking about the blessings and so on. Now verse 9, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Okay, now, what is this all about? We are confident of better things concerning you. So, here we have the author of Hebrews. Okay? And he is looking at the readers. And he raises a concern that there are some who would fall away. Right? And because they have fallen away, what we raise is a big question mark concerning the faith. And that's something that we want to guard against. But how do we ensure that we do not end up like these? So he raises this concerning those who were his readers. Okay? And there were some that he comments. Okay? This is actually a commendation. And yet, at the same time, there are some who will not fall into this category, who would be otherwise. So we need to bear that in mind as we read this. Okay, that means it is not the whole group, the church that he is addressing, that will all fall under this commendation. As in any church, there will always be some that will be otherwise. Okay, some who would prove otherwise. Now, let's try and understand this as we read this. And he says, "But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation. Now, what is this things that accompany salvation? Now, what is written in the Greek is one of the things that you have. The things that you have that will pertain to salvation. So, if you want to know whether you have true salvation and beyond, these are the things that you must have. And because it's written in the present tense, it is something that continues. It will accompany salvation. It is not something that is, excluded. You have to be able to see these things in your life because this is what accompanies salvation. So, this is something that the author raises up. Now, what are some of these things? What are some of these commendable things that will help bring certainty concerning your salvation? Because salvation is something that, after a while, is so watered down today. In today's context, there's so many perspectives concerning what salvation is. People are looking for salvation. Yes, they want salvation. But if you find something, a faith that is less than what the Lord stipulates as fundamental to what salvation is, then you will find that your faith is not genuine. Okay? So what are some of these things? So these are things that he commends his readers for. Verse 10. "For God is not unjust to forget your work." So what he does is that he raises this and he says, first of all, he talks about work. And he asks himself, what is this work? There is work. The word is really, in Greek, is where you get the word energy. So there are works of energy that will be, that you are somehow energized in order to do these works. And labor of love, they are together. Because of these works, you need to labor. The word labor, I think we've brought this up a number of times. It's where you get the word kopio, okay, in Greek. It's your noun form, and so it's kopos, okay? And it talks about toiling. It talks about, working so hard until you are wearied up. This is the kind of labor that we are looking at. So this week, as I was preparing for this weekend, it's one of those weekends that, you know, all the different commitments come together. I'm speaking at morning worship, and along that, you know, cat class because pastor is over in the States. And, you know, I had to learn to labor. And there are weeks where you just cannot find enough time to do the things that you need to do. I'm sure you are, you know, you experienced such moments before in your work and so on and so forth. And, you know, it just piles up and there are just so many things for me to get done. At the same time, I have to look after my wife a little bit more this week. And, you know, I've got to learn how to cut fruits for her and show some, you know, care and concern. How are you? But on top of that, beyond that, I still have to, you know, manage all the work I need to do. You know? And, you know, that's my labor of love. You know, learning what it means to labor. Learning what it means to work hard. No, so later on, when we have to work, look, we are not just going to go up there and sing. And just sing any old how. Right? We need to work on it until we get it well, get it right, so that, you know, we do a good, you know, performance. To honor the Lord and to minister to everybody else. So we need to labor. Those who be chariot, you know, they labored really hard. They worked on it again and again and again. Until pastor said, okay, good, carry on. Wow. Then the Lord, phew, you know. It's not easy. I must tell you this. You think it's easy to go up there and share? What are your thoughts? How do you share? What is it that you want to share? It's not. And you need to work hard. And we learn what it means to work hard together. Labor of love. And it's out of love for the brethren that we labor. And we do it conscious of the name of the Lord. Labor of love which you have shown toward His name. So there is this sense of regard for the name of the Lord. Why do we want to labor? Because we want to honor the name of the Lord. We want to be able to do it because it is for the sake of the name of the Lord. As a believer, we are conscious of the Lord's name. See, salvation is not something that is one-off and then that's it. Salvation concerns our life, concerns things that accompany salvation itself. There must be works, there must be labor of love, and you know, we are conscious of the name of the Lord. A person's name is most crucial. You don't want to take anybody's name in vain. You don't want to use anybody's name in vain. We are concerned about that name. We are concerned about the name of Singapore. If any, you know, you go overseas, if somebody tells you, you know, something bad about Singapore, you know, you get upset. I get upset. What is wrong? Unless it's true, okay, then... Bopian, okay, yeah, sorry, you know, that's what Singaporeans are, but, you know, if it's not true, then, you know, because it matters to us. The name of Bethany matters to us, right? The name YAG also matters to us, right? If somebody say, YAG is so lazy, I'll be very concerned, say, what do you mean by that? I'll be very concerned, true? You'll be concerned, right? So much more the Lord's name. If somebody says something bad about the Lord's name, or we do something that is not in honor of the Lord's name, so whatever it is that we seek to do, we labor because it is in the name of the Lord. And that's why we want to do what we do, to bring honor and glory to the Lord's name. So tomorrow, when we are up there, we want to do it with a great sense of joy, with a great sense of oneness. We want to honor the Lord's name. It's not about the YAG. It's about worshipping the Lord together, up there, leading in worship. And it's also about learning what it means to minister. Okay? So in verse 10, we go on to read, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The word ministered is, what it means is that you're willing to do humble work, menial work. Whatever it is that you are asked to do, if you are asked to take care of the tea, if you are asked to take care of somebody's birthday, to make a card or to celebrate the person's birthday, if you are asked to do decorations, if you are asked to lead in worship, if you are asked to, you know, to do clean up and to sing and so on and so forth, we see this as a way of service for the Lord. We are seeking to minister to the saints. To me, it's an excellent opportunity. I hope that you see this as a wonderful opportunity and privilege to be able to be up there and to be collectively, we seek to minister to the saints. That's how I will see tomorrow when we are up there together. And, you know, you'll be up there leading worship, and after that, I will be bringing the Word of God. And I'm seeking to minister to the saints. And it's not only ministered, but do minister. It is a continuous thing. If we come to know the Lord, okay, and we say, okay, you know what, we are so excited about serving, and we serve, and then after a while, we kind of die out. We burn out, and we stop serving. You know, my question is, why not? Why are you not serving? There's something wrong. I mean, then we need to go back to our salvation. What is this salvation all about? And oftentimes I see many Christians who seek to serve. Yes, and they are excited. They are, you know, they are gung-ho. They are on fire and so on and so forth. And after a while, if they do not understand what it means to walk with the Lord, to be able to appreciate the salvation that you have, they burn out after a while. And you know what? They are not serving. My question is, why not? So we want to be able to understand salvation as such that we will be able to not only having served, but to continue to minister. And that is something that we continue to do. We minister faithfully. So these are some of the things that accompany salvation. Do we have works? That's what James is talking about. Right? James talks about faith and works. You can talk about faith, and James says, you know, I will show you my faith by my works. Do we have works? Do we have labor? Are we laboring out of love for the Lord? Out of love for the people? The more I do, it is really because I'm learning what it means to labor for the Lord even more. Each week, each day, whether it is ministering to people, whether it is preparing for ministry, whether it's writing articles, whether it is visiting people, each and every day, it is packed because there's so many things to do. Are we learning what it means to honor the Lord's name? Are we learning what it means to minister to the saints and do minister? So you have to ask yourself, do I have these things? If somehow I don't have works, if somehow I'm not laboring as I should, somehow if I'm not seeking to minister, somehow I'm not conscious of the Lord's name in honoring Him, then I need to check, I need to go back and ask myself, why aren't I doing these things? These things should accompany. The word is have. Do you have these things and continue to have these things? Okay, any questions about this? Okay, now let me just say that whoever we are and whatever state we are in, end of the day, God knows, God sees. Okay, and it is important for us to be conscious of that. I mean, I can talk to you, I can tell you the Lord's word, we can discuss, we can encourage, we can give you, you know, the direction to go. End of the day, a lot of it really has to do with your choice. Whether you want to do it or not, whether you want to set the path that this is the way to go, this is the salvation way, these are the things that accompany salvation. Whether you want to do it or not goes back to you. But end of the day, God knows. God sees. And that's why in verse 10 it says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work." God is not an unjust God. Okay? He is just in more ways. He's righteous. He's a holy God. And what the author used here is what we call a double negative. Okay, he could have just said God is just. So why did he then write God is not unjust? What is the point of stating that? Anybody? Why? Why not just say God is just? Just is definitely not God. Just is definitely not God, right? But right, and a lot of times why a double negative is used is for emphasis. It's to state it with a clenched hand and to emphasize God is not an unjust God. He knows, he sees. He knows what righteousness is. He sees what righteousness is. And he will not forget it. If you do something that is righteous before him, if you do these things that accompany salvation, he sees them. He knows them. And he will remember them. And you don't have to worry. Whether sometimes, you know, when we serve the Lord, we are not, you know, we don't get the thanks. We are not appreciated. We do menial work. We clean the piano. You know, Lenya, you know, she will have to go and clean the piano and things like that. Nobody sees whether it's clean or not, right? And, you know, but God knows. Out of her labor of love for the piano, she will clean the piano as best. You see, it's so shiny. I don't know. You don't clean, right? Somebody else cleans. You wipe, okay, you see, she wipes, right? She wipes. And, you know, whatever it is that God has called us to do, God knows. There are many things that you don't know about. There are people that I visit, there are people that I minister to, the things that I do on a daily basis. Sometimes you ask, Pastor Mark, what do you do every day? You think I sit in the office and shake leg and just relax, hello, how are you? There are many, many things to do. You don't know about that. You didn't know that I visited somebody who just suffered bereavement. You don't know that, you know, I had to meet up with people along the way. People who are struggling. And, you know, it's just being able to recognize that end of the day, whatever it is that I do in terms of service for the Lord, God knows. And for me, this is a reflection of my own salvation. These are things that accompany salvation. And it's crucial for us to recognize this. And God will not forget all that we do in His name. God will recognize these things. God sees. Okay, any questions? Okay, are you all clear about this idea of... So I think it's a very nice flow from what the author is raising. I mean, he's raising something that's very of great concern, that if we were to fall away, even though we have all these blessings, you know, it's something that we need to guard against. But yet, at the same time, we want to be very sure of our own salvation now. These are the things that accompany salvation. And we want to be able to recognize Okay. No questions? Now, let me then also ask, as much as these are things that we want to think about, what is it that we want to, moving forward, how do we ensure that this is something that we continue? So first of all, we need to know what salvation is, right? So this is something that we need to work with us. If you have not found salvation, then find salvation. We need salvation in life. We need salvation from our sins. We need salvation from life's temptation. We need salvation from the problems of life. We need salvation from ourselves. God brings that salvation into our life through Christ. Now, at the same time, we need to be able to know that there are things that accompany salvation. Do we have these things so that we would be so much more certain? Now, yet there is a further exhortation, and that is regards to how do we do these things? Okay, if you just say we have started on doing works, we have started to labor in love, we have learned what it means to honor the Lord's name, we have learned what it means to minister. Right? How do we do these things? Now, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end. So we have the end. This is the end. I think the challenge is, can we ensure that we will fulfill what is necessary with hope to the end? The danger is that along the way, somehow we become distracted. Somehow we are drawn away. Somehow we are, you know, if God says this is the way to go, then you know what? We need to go this way. If God says this is the way to go, do not be distracted. You know, I'm one person who, you know, I use the iPhone, and I really like Google Maps. I don't know whether you use Google Maps. I'm a guy, I went through the army, my sense of direction, I must say, is not too bad. Okay? I don't know about ladies. Ladies tend to be, your direction not very good, right? Besides math. Yeah, okay. Your direction very good. Okay. That's good. Okay, since Pastor is away, I'll just say a little bit about him. His sense of direction not very good. So last week he was saying about, you know, Pastor Mitch, right? Pastor Mitch is there to direct him. His direction, sense of direction somehow not as good. Auntie Sally is very good. Right? And for me, I'm quite good, you know. But of course there are places where you are not very familiar with. So this week I had to go to somewhere in Pasir Ris, okay, and I use Google Maps, and I thought I would travel by Aukang, go by TTE, and then go to Pasir Ris. But then the Google Maps said, no, you go down Paya Lebar, and you go by PIE, and then you go by TPE back into Lorong Loyang Avenue, and so on and so forth. I said, hey, doesn't that look like a longer way? But according to Google Maps, is actually faster. So I decided, okay, I'm just going to trust Google Maps. And I went, and it true enough, the whatever time you put there, it will tell you how fast you will go, right? 15 minutes, 16 minutes, 17 minutes. And true enough, it took exactly that time to go there. I trusted in my Google Maps. I follow direction. Not to the left, not to the right. No need to think, shortcut, whatever. Sometimes you think, hey, I think this is a better way. Actually, you will realize after a while, more traffic light, more this, got distractions, whatever. So far, it has not let me down. Don't let me down. Huh? I promote Google Maps. Okay. But, you know, if you were to find something that leads you and tell you this is the way to go, you won't want to go any other way. This is the right direction in life. And what we need is really diligence to stick to it. And that's why he says here, right, we have the direction to the end, full assurance, but look, but we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Now, the word diligence is an interesting word. Okay? It's where you get the word speed. Okay? Speed in Greek. Speedo. Right? You know what speedo is, right? And so what he's trying to say here is that in life, as you seek to carry out these things, you are in need of diligence. And we all struggle with being diligent. We always talk about being inconsistent. We all talk about starting but not being able to continue. We always talk about, you know, struggling along the way. Let me encourage you. Find diligence. If you are seeking to live your life according to the things that manifest salvation, we need diligence. Diligence that the apostles and the prophets displayed. There are many good examples. Diligence that the believers displayed. Many of us here, you know, we seek to be diligent. As we grow in terms of faith, as we grow in terms of maturity, we learn what it means to be diligent. We have speed. We act on it. We don't wait. We seek to be diligent, you know. When Jinky, when she arrived at the A&E, and one of the nurse, was it a guy or a girl? Push you. Oh, you didn't know? You were stunned? Okay. Okay. Understandable. Understandable. Point taken. I've been telling people this story. I don't know whether it's a lady nurse or a man nurse. But anyway, there was a nurse that pushed her to the, do you call it OT or OR? Okay, but normally do people use OR or T? Huh? OT, right? Okay, so OT. And because OT sounds like overtime, yeah. So anyway, OT. And, you know, he was really being diligent in his work because he was pushing her and then rushing and then say, you know, hey, F1, now F1 move, you know. And he was going there as fast as he could. And, you know, he arrived there in quick time. This is diligence. Right? It's really being able to say, you know what? I need to get this done. I need to get her. You know, I think along the way, Richie mentioned to them and say, hey, this is my pastor's wife, you know. And, you know, and he was there prepared. He was geared up ready when she arrived at the OT. Diligence. The question is, how diligent? Do we bring speed into the things that we do? Are we diligent? Are we always, you know, the opposite is what? What's the opposite of diligent? Of being diligent? Right? Look at this. Verse 12. That you do not become sluggish. Wow. Sluggish. You know, this is a problem. Now, we need to take real care about this. Because when we talk about the future, can we last out? We need diligence. But oftentimes, we all struggle with this problem of laziness. We are lazy in more ways than one. We become slothful, lazy. That's the problem. We do not have vision. I'm quite tempted to ask how many of you have this problem. Have you, all of you have good diligence? You don't have laziness? Everybody is, wow, gung-ho, speed up, right? Every time you are here early, you are, you know, wow. Every morning you are there to read the Lord's Word. You are there, Lord, I'm here on time. You know, in fact, way before you, you know. I'm here already, waiting for you, Lord, to speak to me. Everybody has this diligence? We all struggle with laziness. I'm trying to get up in the morning. Wow, that is the hardest thing. Waking up. Can we wake up on time? Laziness. Justina, do you struggle with laziness? Right? Who's better, Nelson or you? Both are lazy. You are lazier than him. He laughs at you. Yeah. We all struggle with this. Seriously. Right? We all struggle with laziness. And you know, it's learning what it means to be diligent. Because we struggle with this being sluggish. You know, the idea of being sluggish is there are times when we become jaded. We've been here so many years. And we look at our own faith, we don't, you know, somehow we become disinterested, we are jaded, we are just tired out. Sometimes it's about, you know, maybe we have backslided. We have gone away from God. We have fallen away from Him. We have drifted away. Maybe it's because we have lost focus. Somehow we are distracted. We have, you know, we have allowed our focus, instead of focusing on the Lord, we are focused on our work, we are focused on family, we are focused on the things of life. You know what? Maybe it's because sin has taken over. Sin has dominated us, overwhelmed us, controlled us. We don't have that diligence anymore. In fact, we become sluggish. We drag our feet. We take our time. We are not interested. And that becomes a real problem. Laziness. When we do not abide in the Lord, we do not abide in Christ, we do not abide in His Word, we do not abide in His love. Laziness. Okay? That is a real problem. You know, laziness is something that interesting, the book of Proverbs actually addresses it. Just a quick detour for a while. And you know, Proverbs has many verses concerning laziness. If you have, in fact, all the, you know, references to laziness, or at least the word lazy, is found in Proverbs. For instance, Proverbs 6. Verse 6. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer or ruler. See, if we all need to be told by someone, then that diligence is not from us. It is because somebody is watching over you. Right? Pastor is away. It doesn't mean that, oh, hey, relax, no, sit one corner, hey, no need to do anything. Hey, we all need to get done. I mean, things done, we're going to do our work. It's not because our captain and our overseer, you know, he's around, then we only do things. No. Right? Provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rice from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler. Laziness causes us to, you know, if we were to sleep and sleep and slumber and we are lazy. This week I just heard somebody slept the whole day, and there's nothing wrong with the person, slept the whole day until, you know, 7 o'clock. That means wake up at 7 o'clock in the evening. How do you sleep the whole day, man? And you know, it's crazy. How do you do that? I don't even remember the time when I got up beyond 7 o'clock in the morning. Seven o'clock, 12 hours later. That's crazy. And I know we all like to sleep. I mean, sleeping is good, right? If you need to sleep, you sleep. But you need to wake up, you need to wake up. Okay? And, you know, we like the ant. I think that's why God created the ant. You know why God created the ant? So that the author of Proverbs can write this verse. To tell us that, look, don't be a sluggard. Right? Be diligent. Like the ant. No need to tell the fella. How so many of them? If I go to tell you, hey, hello, you better do your work. Hello, hello, you better do your work. Every single ant, how to? Cannot. Instinctively, the ant will do what he needs to do. He will carry a weight that is beyond his ability. Because he has to. Okay? Now let's turn to another reference, Proverbs 26. Verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. Right? He's sounding out warning so that he don't have to get up. Right? There's a lion. He never even seen the road yet. But you know, there's a lion there. Verse 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. You just imagine this guy, right? And it's like a door and the hinges. And then you get, oh, you're very tired. Doesn't it describe us in more ways than one? Lazy man. Right? The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. See how lazy this man is? You know, he stretches. Oh, yeah, so tired already. You know, put his hand into the bowl. You know, he grabs. Oh, so tired. He leaves his hand there. See how lazy he is? The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. The book of Proverbs is full of these humorous ways of looking at a lazy person. And it's very funny. But are we lazy? Now the question is not about just being lazy. It's about, are we spiritually lazy? Are we spiritually lazy? Are we slothful in our own way? In our spiritual ways? In the way we conduct ourselves as a Christian? Are we lazy? Okay, any questions at all? Everybody doesn't have a problem with... Sam, do you have a problem with laziness? So how? Look at ants! Yeah, how do we learn diligence? How do we overcome this problem of laziness? Okay, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. And in Hebrews chapter 6, he tells us, verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, end of the day, the end, we are going to inherit the promises. And what we have are many examples. Okay? We have the example of the Lord. We have the example of the apostles. We have the examples that Paul describes of. Paul himself is an example. And we have examples in our midst who shows us what it means to be diligent. It could be the pastors, it could be your con members, it could be the people around us who show to us this is the way to live our lives. This is the way to go. If you want to overcome the world, if you want to overcome the sins of our lives, if we really want to be able to say, let's not allow backsliding, let's not allow distraction, let's not allow sin to dominate us, let us not be jaded. Well, look at the faith of these people. Imitate them. Follow them. Yep. Yes. Okay, good question. So in the context of work, can we still do works or labor of love? The answer is yes. We may not be able to do it directly, right? We have our, you know, this as in your job, correct? You need to fulfill all righteousness. You need to get it done. But yet, along the way, you are going to work with people. You are going to... the manner in which you do things matters. So can we be... to learn to be nice to people along the way? Can we offer help? Can we seek to share that love? See, works of love basically are done out of love. If along the way I can care for somebody and say, you know what, as we do things together, let me show my love to you. Let me care for you. Let me encourage you. Let me be a blessing to you. Tomorrow, one of the songs that we're going to sing is, "Make Me a Blessing." So in the context of work, see, like for instance, for me when I was working in a bank, you know, it was being a listening ear to somebody, being there for somebody, to encourage somebody, you know what, let's go for lunch, you know what, let's talk, let me learn what it means to be a blessing to you. Definitely, of course, I would like to reach out to you if I can, which is what I sought to do too. But oftentimes you cannot keep on every day, hey, you got to know the Lord. Hey, every day you got to know. You can't also. You need to be able to say, along the way, you find the right opportunities. Sure. But there are times when you just need to be, you know, a light to the person, to care for the person, to be a blessing to the person. You know, I had so much good feedback concerning Hui Chun as a doctor. He is the chief of, you know, as a heart center there. But everybody that, whether it was the nurse, whether it was the attendant, you know, when Huijing's name came up, they always had good feedback concerning Huijing. He was a good doctor. He cared for the people. And I think it's something that you want to learn to do too. It's not about just getting the work done. Yes, it is about that. But what kind of Christian are you? I know there are difficult bosses along the way. I know there are difficult colleagues along the way. We've been talking about this, sharing about this along the way. Sure. But what does your heart say? Can we not love? Can we not show works of love to the person? The answer is yes. Even in a family context, can we not care for each other? Can we not learn to love each other? Yes, definitely. More so in the context of a family. You may have non-Christian friends, non-Christian family members. Can we not show that love to them? And the answer is yes. The best way to reach out to people is to show love. Last week, Eugene was sharing about, you know, having to be able to know all the different arguments, you know, to so-called win this person, tell him, you know, what you believe in is wrong, I can raise questions and everything else. And at the end of it, you know what? Comes to nothing. Why not we show a bit of love? Why not we care? If the person, you know, somehow the family, you know, has a funeral or whatever, you know what? Take the trouble, go down. Even if the person is not very close to you, you take the trouble, you show a bit of love, people can see. We see this as works of love. So I had many things to do. And I was pondering, should I go? Should I go? Can I go? But you know what? At the end of the day, I just went. And you know what? It was good because I went there, I ministered to the family. There was questions that were raised. How do I see these things? And I was able to help answer those questions for the person. Can I do it out of love for the person? Yes. Take the trouble. Learn what it means to, you know, yes, I have a lot of work to do. So do I. All of us have many things to do. But you take that trouble, you make that effort, it will mean so much of a difference to that person. And sometimes you think that, oh, you know, the person doesn't know me, even if I go, he won't recognize me. I tell you very honestly, you'd be surprised how people remember things. Even if it's just random things along the way, you'd be surprised how people will remember these things and how you can make an impact by showing works of love, by caring, by honoring the name of God, by ministering to people. As you minister to your family members, as you minister to others, to friends, and so on and so forth. Tonight, I have, you know, even tomorrow I have a long day, sure. But tonight, I have a family function. In fact, I have two functions, okay? The other one is actually a school function. It's my 30th class of 1985 celebration. RJC, 30 years later, everybody wants to meet. It's tonight. Pastor Mitch and I said, no, actually we don't want to go. And then along the way, we had, we came out, my grand uncle is celebrating his 60th anniversary. You know what? I'd rather go for this. Because there they say, oh, you know, come, party, have wine, you know, with drinks. And I mean, nothing wrong with gatherings and, you know, seeing your old friends. And I have nothing wrong with that. But you know what? I'm looking for a possibility of ministering and reaching out. And, you know, I just want to be there for my family. I take time. Can I reach out to a family member? Can I reach out to a friend? Take time. Make the effort. Show that kind of love. Show works that accompany salvation. To me, that is crucial. With faith and with patience. Now, we all understand that it's not easy. I mean, when you try and reach out, when you try to minister to people, it's not easy at times. You know, you need to be able to do works of love with faith and patience. It takes time. It takes a genuine faith. It takes maturity of faith. Okay? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And you know, when we follow their example, imitate. The word imitate basically to mimic. Mimic. Mimic each other. Mimic the leaders. Mimic the pastors. You know, we're all learning what it means to work very hard. Even the two bands here, you know, this week. Right? We really stopped morning classes because many of them have returned to school. There's only a few of them left. And pastor said, okay, we'll stop morning class for now, for a while. But pastor gave him a whole list of assignments. I look at all the assignments they were supposed to, I was so scared for them. So many. Oh, please go and analyze prayer meeting, analyze Bible study, analyze Sunday school, you know, from a pastor standpoint, how do you analyze all these different ministries? That's one, right? And then, okay, look at oneness. I want you to come out with a, you know, a paper on oneness. We have been studying about oneness. Go and study and come out with a paper about oneness. Huh? You going to do? And Ben came up to me. He said, hey, how are you? Cannot. And the pastor, hey, I don't know where to start now, pastor. I said, start somewhere. Not much of a help, but start somewhere. I said, you better start somewhere soon. Huh? Have we gone already? Pastor's coming back this week. You learn what it means. And at the same time, we still minister. Works of love. Faith without works is dead. We all know this verse. And yet at the same time, I ask you, do you have works? Do you show works? In your own special way. Tomorrow we're also going to highlight about, you know, our Myanmar ministry and so on and so forth. Do we support this work? Do we give? Okay? Now, let me encourage you as we celebrate our anniversary. Next Saturday, we are going to have another YAG meeting. Then the following Saturday, it will be a combine. We are going to combine with the YPG and so on. So next Saturday, we are going to collect a very special offering. Once in a while, I'll tell you about the needs of Myanmar. And so next Saturday, we're going to collect a very special offering for the work in Myanmar. We have sought to give each time when Pastor goes, and you know, I've highlighted this again and again. And the last trip that we went out, or when Pastor went out, of course, you know about, you know, one of our missionaries, and his wife were, you know, the boat capsized, and she presumed drowned. They couldn't find a body. In the end, they just had a burial without a body. That was the latest thing. They just couldn't find the body. And one of the things that we did as a young adults, we will give a gift to Pastor, and he will ask, he will, usually what he does now, he will email me when he's there, and he will tell me, okay, this is what I'm channeling. We are going to channel this gift, your gift, from the YEG, towards this work. And we gave towards, you know, supporting this man through his grief, for the funeral, for the wife's family, and so on and so forth. And to me, you know what, this is our way of showing works of love. And you know what, let's learn to give. Let's not just sit there and, okay, you know what, I'm here and I'm learning and that's it. Learn to give, learn to be part of. And this is something that I do. As much as I give towards the Lord's work, towards the building fund, I give to missions too. And each time, you know, I myself, I learn to give. It's not about, okay, I tell you all to give and I don't do my part. I learn to give too. I do my part. And collectively, we can impact others. Our heart is out of a love for them, a love for our brethren, a love for our brethren overseas. This is an excellent opportunity where we can make a difference to someone over in a country where it's just so full of difficulties and problems and challenges. Can we make a difference to him, to others, to the work there? The answer is yes. And why not? Because we are seeking to do works that accompany our salvation. So let's learn to give. Yeah, Dawa. Yep.
In general, right?
That yep.
This is how you ask in the workplace, believers or non-believers. And then it goes on to say that you administer to the saints.
Yep.
And which you have, take for example, like how we minister to fellow men.
Yes. Yes.
Also, how we minister to brethren overseas.
Yes.
In a situation where, say, I guess saints here means Christian.
Yes, definitely. Non-Christians. Christian or non-Christian?
Christians.
Sure.
Whom you know some of their actions or what they believe is different from
yes. Well, you be the example, you see. Someone, if your friend somehow he says a Christian and then he does things that are not right, you know what? You stand differently. You live your life differently from him. If you go and follow him, then you emulate him, then sorry, you know, you are no different from the person. Sure. Okay, sure. Yes. Cell groups.
Among in the company or something like that.
Yes.
You don't, as a Presbyterian or as we fundamentally do not
follow.
Follow.
Yep. So what's your concern? Your concern is should we be involved or not?
Yeah. How do you minister?
Yeah. I think you need to make a distinction because, as you rightly say, these are things that we do not follow exactly. Like, for instance, you say cell group, right? And why don't Bethany has, I mean, why don't we have cell group too? Right? And we raise concerns with regards to cell groups. Okay? Now, the concern is, a lot of times, the cell group is led by a lay person. And then you have very many different levels. You have young people, you have adults, and so on and so forth. Now the question is, very much depends on the leader. And if the leader is going to say, you know what, okay, today you share. Now, next week you share. Next week you share. Now son, if I would ask you, next week you take over YAG, you share. You run away. Precisely, what are you going to say? Right? And you know what? They share all kinds of things. And they are not equipped to share. They don't have the knowledge of the Word of God. They don't have the guidance. They don't have this, you know, the word to, deep enough to be able to share something that will, it's always, let me just share about my life. If every week you all come and, you know, Justina stands up here and just share, okay, thank you very much, let's have fellowship. That's all. You don't have the Word of God. You are not fed the Word of God. How many of you are really going to grow? You see the problem? Unless you go deep down into the solid Word of God, you're not going to grow. You see the problem here? And it's, you know, they always pass off, let's share, you share, I share, you share. And I raise this question, are we really growing? And you know, it's a lot, after a while, there was once this boy came to me, and I used to minister at Kuo Chuan, at their chapel. And at one of the sessions, he came up to me. He said, Pastor Mark, can you give me a verse? I said, what verse do you want? I'm going to conduct Holy Communion for my cell group. Conduct Holy Communion? I was shocked. I said, what? You're going to conduct Holy Communion for your cell group? He's only sec 2, no? You are going to conduct, one, I was shocked, he is conducting the cell group. Two, he's going to conduct Holy Communion for his cell group. Big question mark, what is this all about? Can you see the problem? So, we have big issues. I mean, I understand where they are coming from, and the problem is, after a while, it's all about the cell groups. And I tell you very honestly, after a while, you know, it tends to divide rather than to unite. Because I have my cell group, you have your cell group, my cell group is better, your cell group is, my cell group is growing. Oh, you know what, we need, my cell group leader always tell me, I have to go and reach out, I have to go and reach out, I got to bring more people to the cell group. You're not equipped to reach out. So, we have concerns. So, should you be involved? Let's just say, if somebody were to invite you to a cell group. My answer is, probably not. Rethink this. Because you go there, what are you going to do? Listen to the person share? and you know that some of the things that they share have you have concerns with regards to their understanding of the Word of God, there will be problems. It's not that Bethany has not enough activities for you, no? Right, Tawa, we have a lot of activities, right? In the context of our church. There's Bible study, there's prayer meeting, there's YAG, there's choir, there's Sunday school. You want some more? I can have private sessions with you if you want. I can include you in, no problem. You see what I'm trying to say? So, the question is, do we really need... And when truth is of concern, you know what? I will raise a question mark. Please, I mean, they want to do what they do. That's up to them. But should we get involved? I'll rethink this very carefully. I think it's just being able to be very careful about these things. The influence of these things. And you go there, you tell them, okay, you know what? What you're going to share, do you think that they will agree with you? Probably not. How can two be together unless they are agreed? He told me to... Two Corinthians and chapter 6. Right? Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, of course, they always use this in the context of marriage. It's not just about marriage. It's about the kind of connection, the kind of relationship that you have with each other. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of the Lord with idols? For you are the temple of the Lord, of the living God. Right? How to be equally yoked if one is truth and one is false? How? I will find it very hard to do that. Does that answer your question? Okay, any other questions concerning this? Okay, so it's important for us to be able to say, let's work together in a context of works of love, faith, patience, and ultimately to inherit the promise. So, I think it's important once again to check our own lives. Do we show these commendable things that accompany salvation? So that you can be so much more sure about your own salvation. Yeah. Promise of everything that the Lord will give. One of it has to do with heaven. One of it has to do with, you know, the reward that will come at the end of the day. You know, all these things are, when the Lord comes again, it will be, you know, that which is promised to us, the inheritance. The idea of inheritance has to do with what God will give to us. I mean, it has to do with the crown of righteousness. Everything. The inheritance that we have. This is a beautiful inheritance. Inheritance that the Lord has promised us. You know, these are the treasures that God would extend to us at the end of the day, when we are faithful. Rather than to be so caught up with the treasures of this earth, why don't we be so much more focused on heavenly treasures, the things that the Lord will, rather than these things on this earth. The things of this earth, the things that the world offers to us, they're only temporal. Okay? So God, you see, that's why God is not unjust. He will not forget what you have done in His name, your works. One day our works will be, you know, judged by the Lord. We studied this not too long ago. And whatever we built will go through the fire. Whether it is wood, hay, you know, stubble, or is it gold, silver, or precious stone. This is what it means. End of the day, we will be judged. And yet, whatever it is that we will receive will be our inheritance. You know what? Let's learn to be diligent. Let's not be sluggish. Let's emulate those who have genuine faith and, you know, to really persevere. I think in this life, many people struggle. I mean, it's good to struggle, to learn to struggle and not give up. But once we fall away, once we allow ourselves to be drawn back into the world, that raises a big question mark. It's so important for us to be diligent. No matter where we are, no matter where we go, we need to be diligent. So this week I was just talking to somebody. He's going over to the States for exchange. And I told him, you know what, even though it's a short time, you want to be faithful. You want to be able to keep in touch. You want to be able to draw close to the Lord, even your way. Don't be drawn away by the things of the world there. Keep focused. Keep diligent. Okay? Alright, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you will help us to look at our own lives and to really look at our own salvation. If we truly have genuine faith in salvation, then we should have things that accompany that salvation, be it works, be it labor of love, be it wanting to honor your name, be it ministering to the saints and to others. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to not allow laziness in our lives, to allow spiritual laziness to get the better of us. Teach us, Lord, to be diligent each and every day, to rise up, to walk with you, to read your word, to pray to you, to be spiritual, so that we would be able, Lord, to live our lives in faith, in perseverance, ultimately to the time when we will see the Lord come again. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us. We look forward to ministering to our brethren tomorrow. Ask for your special blessings upon our preparation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Take a